Thank you for listening to this audio recording from LimoPlanet 2020 Free the Future. The following talk was presented at LimoPlanet, the Free Software Foundation's annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology. For more information on LimoPlanet, visit limoplanet.org/conference. LimoPlanet is a live conference with speakers who often use visual slides in their presentations. We have only selected talks for this audio feed that do not overly rely on visuals, but if you would like to see a speaker's slides, they are available at media.limoplanet.org. LimoPlanet speakers do not represent the Free Software Foundation. As part of our mission to show how important free software is to everyone, we have speakers talking about their use of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take positions on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedoms of all computer users, LimoPlanet is made possible by thousands of individuals who, like you, donate what they can. To keep this work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join or making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss.
Hi, everybody. This is Room Monitor Jess, and we are about to begin a talk here from SALT. It's called Bicycles as Metaphor for Free Software. And this session is going to feature a question and answer session about 10 minutes at the end. So if you can put any questions that you have into the IRC, I will take those in and make sure that SALT is able to answer the questions at the end. You can put them in at any time, and I'll track them. And that's about all the housekeeping I have for you. So thank you so much for joining us, and here's SALT.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, I just realized that I didn't update the title on my slide to be a little more LibrePlanet respecting, but this is Bicycles as a Metaphor for Free Software, which I generally... am I sharing my slides?
You are sharing your screen right now, but we don't see slides yet.
One moment, let me fix that. There we go.
Perfect.
All right. Yeah, so let's see, a little bit about myself. So I'm from Seattle, and I'm co-organizer of SGL, the Seattle GNU Linux Conference. I've been involved with free software and Linux for over 25 years now. I got involved on Red Hat 2, and currently am a Debian user full-time, but I also run Arch and dabble in plenty of other things. Prior to grad school, I didn't really have any bicycle background. Maybe rode 20 miles of my life as a child and just really wasn't into it. Part of that was that I had 7 bikes stolen. We do have a pretty high bike theft level here. And I just didn't ride for 10 years. The last one was when I was an undergrad. They snipped my fence and it just wasn't for me. But then I entered grad school, sold my car, bought a bike, and now I ride about 10,000 miles a year, including an annual trip, which unfortunately due to the pandemic at hand, I may not be going on. I may just go on the ride anyway, but up to Linux Fest Northwest, which is in Bellingham, about 130 or so miles, give or take. And there's a joke in the bicycle world of how many bikes do you own? And it's N plus one, which for me is currently 4.5, the 0.5 being that I have a frame that was my first bike and haven't quite decided what I'm doing with that yet. But aside from myself, why are we talking about this? Why are we talking about free software? Why are we talking about bicycles? Well, this is something that, aside from my kind of newfound passion in bicycles and long-time passion with free software, that I've really come to understand that there's similarities between the two. Open engineering. So this idea of run, study, improve, and distribute, right? That's free software, but that's also bicycles. It's that ability to look inside that I think makes them pretty special. turn something that otherwise is black box, commodified, unable to be repaired, unable to be made into something that can better us and better the world. And instead, we now are creating these public spaces, these public goods, these public things that, well, generally help the public. And I look around myself and, of course, free software. But physical goods? In the present day, there are very few that really seem to embody that nature, especially ones that really haven't changed in a long time. I mean, bicycles generally haven't had many improvements in nearly 100 years. So what led us to this? What got us to this point of having such open software, such open hardware? Well, I would argue that a big part of it is this idea of grassroots innovation. So looking at the bicycles, the manufacturers have tried so many different things. It has always been an amateur and hobbyist type technology. They've tried different materials. On the right there, you can see a bike made entirely of cardboard. They've tried different techniques. On the one of those bikes is there's no chain; it's direct drive, with I think maybe even a PVC top tube. This idea that we can explore and really dig into things and make things one-off isn't something you see frequently in the built world. But you do see it in software. Now, with bicycles, the big companies, of course, we have had this injection of money and this and it has allowed them to be spread wide and far. But we still have hobbyists and we still have people doing these small innovations. With free software, we see something not dissimilar. Where did software start? Well, if we consider the history, the foundational software back in the 50s, 60s, 70s even, was all open. It was all hobbyist or amateur or academic. It was only then when people started realizing that it could be monetized and grown and spread and separated from the hardware itself that we had the need for free software, the need for this type of innovation. So free software was born. And with free software, this movement that we are all part of or interested in at the very least. And again, we are now coming to this point where, sure, there are very big companies behind free software. There are very big companies who have pushed out things to the masses. How many people use Firefox now? It's really great to see, but at the same time, there's still most free software projects are single person, single individual. Now, innovation. Innovation comes in many, many aspects. This ability to take something and use it in a different way. Well, here's a couple examples of when I first got my bike. I wanted to do everything on it. I wanted to move on it. Well, that's something that we do with software too. How many of you have used Cat? How many of you have used Sed? All of these different things that we build into building blocks and now have extrapolated and turned into just wonderful, hugely useful pieces of software and tools that improve our lives. So beyond our personal use, these are community uses. These are things that we have seen grown. Now, on the left there, this is a few people from my local bike shop at the university. And they found a few old frames, welded them together, and created their own tall bike. came out riding, making these costumes, making these enjoyable times. It's a huge event, huge festival, thousands of people now who come together with these interesting bikes in Seattle and have these events. But it's freeing in other ways. It's innovative in other ways. On the right, you see a riding costume. Riding costumes were one of these early ways that women were able to wear pants. Now, if you know me, if you heard me speak before, I'm no big fan of pants. But the idea that someone can tell you what you can't or can't wear, that is something that I'm not really for. And the idea that bicycles enabled that, the idea that bicycles allowed that freedom, allowed that openness, that's an idea that I think we see repeated in free software. That's an idea that has brought people together, whether they're riding groups, whether they're bike shops, whether they're Linux user groups, whether they're conferences like this. Because we build these things, software, hardware, bicycles, as groups of people, we create communities around them and thus are able to innovate from the ground up in a grassroots manner. But while we're innovating, we're also learning. Now, on the left there is a picture of my bike shop, and you can see it's actually on the university campus. And it's called the ASU Dub Bike Shop because it's part of the, it's a place where people, if you're a student or faculty or staff, can freely come in and use the tools, and they'll teach you. Their mission is education. You're there to learn. This is like going on GitHub and going on IRC and saying, I want to make an improvement. Or I saw this problem, I want to fix it. What do I do? The ability to have those spaces to work within and to get the assistance you need is something that's really special and something that I don't think is visible everywhere. And not just that. I study of a variety of things, learning sciences. And one thing that we talk about in constructionism is this idea of wide walls, low floors, tall ceilings, or high ceilings. And part of this is the idea that you could, quote-unquote, fix your bike by pumping up your tube, learning to change a flat tire. You could also fix it by getting to the point where you're changing out your gears, to the point where you're welding together a frame from scratch. The tall ceiling and that you are able to go to with a bicycle is similar to software. Your first patch might be a typo fix. At the same time, you could be running a piece of software or developing a piece of software that affects hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people every day. And that's, again, not a space that I have found very visible elsewhere. Aside from that, those skills that you learn, they're transferable. This is the wide walls nature. This is the idea that the low floor is that your first patch can be a typo. Anyone can get involved. There's no necessary skills. Anyone can work on a bike. There aren't even tools for some of the changes. The high ceiling is that you can take those skills and really go as far, like really, really far and deep into the specific skill, to the point of welding, to the point of running this 100,000 person project. But the wide walls, that's the idea that these skills are transferable. They can be used elsewhere. Maybe you welded a frame together. Maybe your next project is going to be welding a rack. Or something entirely different, building robots. Maybe they'll be fixing local playground structures. Same with software. you're picking up these skills, how to use control management, or how to use revision management, how to use different languages, how to interact with people. I mean, just the communication skills. You can take those well beyond. Oops. One other thing that I wanted to mention while still on the hands-on learning, again, is these spaces. So these spaces, they're pretty cool. I mean, I mentioned the ASU Dev Bike Shop, that it offers this free service. By the way, you can come and pay them, and they will handle things and let you pick it up. But they'll give you all the time, energy, learning for free if you just are willing to put in a little effort yourself. But those places exist. These bicycle co-ops, they're around the nation and around the world. In fact, in Seattle, we have at least three of them. We have the Bike Works, the Bikery. And in Boston, last time I was down there, I found quite a few. In fact, I took a ride down to, excuse me if I have the name of the region wrong, but I think it was Jamaica Plains. And there's a shop there called Bikes Not Bombs that teaches people these skills, fixes bikes, and then transfers them all over the world. Online, we have these code academies. We have free software ones. I don't know if any of you have children, but take a look at Scratch. Scratch was a platform designed at MIT with the goal of teaching children to program using a visual language and with the inherent idea of remixing built in at a core level. Remixing allowing people to learn from others, transfer what they know to others. Isn't that what we're trying to do here with free software? Isn't that also what we're trying to do with bicycles? No. But it's not all positives. There are absolutely hidden dangers. There's hidden dangers abound. So this is from this previous summer. I was out at CCC camp, and you get flats. Things break sometimes. Sometimes they are easy to fix. Other times, not so much. We spent maybe 2.5 hours on the side of the road coming back from the camp. We were all exhausted. I mean, it had been a long day. We had a long ride ahead of us. But we were there together, working on things together, each of us trying to figure out the problem so that we could get back moving. You know, what about commercialization? Commercialization is a big problem. It's a problem that we've seen with bicycles. It's a problem that we've seen with software. What once, you know, was basically free, now costs money. And sure, money can be important, but money at the exclusion of people's freedoms, oh, that's not as important. That's not as ethical. And we see this with bicycles. So this picture on the left, I was in Chicago and I was trying to do a ride share, and I'll tell you, I had to walk quite a while because it was these, they're called dock stations, and there's, for ride sharing, there's dockless and docked, and I got to one and I was like, okay, great, now I finally have a bike, I can go. This entire roll was out, and the one there was broken. Right, that reminds me of software that, you know, you update your computer. I've had my father update his computer, and the software on it can no longer talk to one of his devices because they've said that device is now out of date. That's not cool. That's not okay. That is, in essence, someone trying to force your decisions and force you to you know, pay them more money to keep up with what they think is important. In Portland, they passed a bicycle tax. I think it's if anything's higher, or if a bicycle costs more than $200, which this may be shocking to some of you, but basically any bike you're going to want to ride for any amount of time beyond, you know, like maybe one season, is going to cost more than $200. Bicycles, they're not cheap. It shocked me, but if it's more than that, they've now put a tax on it. And sure, the idea behind the text, the idea that you're sharing the road, that's reasonable. But the idea of the amount that they've put and what level they've cut it off and what impact cyclists are actually doing, those are all, I think, open questions and ones we should really consider before passing these type of commercializations. Let me make sure my next slide. Okay. I have a few more hidden dangers. I meant to add a couple more slides on these, but I didn't want to use images that I hadn't taken myself or weren't in the public domain, except for the one I couldn't find a really good image of welding frames without a CC, but even then. So commercialization, big danger. Another one is weather. What about power outages, right? What about your servers going down? I mean, these are things that affect both bicycles, and they affect software. They affect it on a wide range and in ways that we really can't control sometimes. There's another big danger, and it's something that I know that we all face, and it's something that we all maybe don't have the best answers for sometimes, and maybe can feel pretty ground down sometimes. And that's this idea of critics. So with bicycles, there's a lot of people who criticize bicycles, right? They're getting in the way. They're blowing through reds. You can't do that on a bicycle, I hear frequently, right? So I could never do that. Oh no, you're taking our parking spaces. I mean, so many of these things are being criticized, and being criticized not entirely without cause, but in ways that are thoughtless. Now, free software is similar, right? How could you do the development that you're doing? How could you do these things while remaining free, while maintaining a public good and giving back to the community? Those critics, it's not that they're without merit, but it is that they are critics and they're inserting negativity into a space that really doesn't need it, that really makes the world a better place. And finally, I have one last hidden danger, and it strikes me on the one on the right, and maybe this is something that some of you have encountered, but I don't know, is this a good or bad thing, but it's kind of addicting, right? Your first patch, the idea that you made a change on Wikipedia, the idea that you have a bike for every season, a bike for every project. Oh, I really like that color. The idea that you're part of these communities, those communities. The idea that you want to install all of these different versions because that you like this feature or this feature, and because you can. That's maybe a little bit of a hidden danger. I might have a bicycle on top of a bookshelf. But there are things to consider. All of these are dangers, but they're also all things that we can work together to get past. Which leads me to the bright horizons. So there on the right, you'll see this idea of bikes, not bombs. That's taken from Libre Planet maybe 2 years ago, I think, when I was out there. We have a bright future. Bright future for free software, and bright future for bicycles. On the left is a note, and I can't really zoom in on it. I'm not sure how clear it is for you, but it's basically someone saying, it's a good job for riding a bicycle. And this is part of the bike benefits program. I don't know I think Boston has bike benefits, so keep an eye out for it. It's a little sticker you can buy that gives you discounts to a bunch of local businesses, well, not local even, just by flashing them your helmet, basically. And it's a pro-bicycle advocacy group in the same way that the Free Software Foundation is a pro-free software advocacy group, a pro-public good advocacy group. Now, they run this event once a year called Bike Bingo. and you buy a little bingo card and you go to a bunch of these shops, and you are giving back by showing that you're a cyclist and by supporting these shops that support cycling and generally by having fun. That type of event, that type of community building and of just energy building, that's the type of thing that we see with bicycles. And that's the type of thing that would be great to see with free software. And when we talk about communities, I mean, look at this. There's thousands of people coming together all to do a ride through the city, which I will say is unsanctioned. Well, who's sanctioning free software? Who tells you you can or can't develop certain things? It's not dissimilar. If we get people together, if we get everyone motivated behind a certain task, behind a certain need, use case, well, that shows that we'll have power, and it shows people that we're out there, that we care. There are people who we've picked up during rides like these. They didn't even know they were a cyclist. Now they are. And that injection, that's amazing. You know, bicycles, it's basically the same device from the mid-1800s. It's still evolving. We have e-bikes, disc brakes, tubeless. E-bikes, a lot of people give e-bikes, you know, gripe. Well, I don't know. E-bikes are getting people back on the road or on the road for the first time. They're connecting them with others. They're connecting them with the world around them. Disc brakes are allowing people to stop faster, be safer. And so, software is not that dissimilar. I mentioned this beforehand. We have some of the same tools that have been around since the 90s, the 80s, the 70s, right? We can go back. I mean, sure, we have evolutions of some of those, or changes, or shifts. I don't know. I still like screen, but TMUX has some nice features. I still SSH, but there are times when I pull up Mosh. I'm still a Bash user, but Z Shell is really appealing. I know Z Shell's been around for a long time. I actually somewhat learned that recently to my embarrassment, but the idea that what people have done with Z Shell and taken it and made it interesting, colorful, and useful in ways, that is pretty impressive. And that's something that's been allowed for because of that grassroots innovation I mentioned earlier, because of the openness, because people are coming together to create interesting things. Same with languages, right? We have languages developing all the time to do new things, to make better choices, to really get to the point where we want to get with free software and, you know, the world as a whole. And then what about culturally, right? So going back, people are working on making these bicycle spaces friendlier, giving back. The bike's not bombs, the idea that people are not only learning, but also now giving to people who could not otherwise, people in countries who could not otherwise use bikes, and bikes that are these freeing objects. That's something that we're seeing in free software. And we're seeing the struggle. I will say in bicycles, there are issues. There's major issues of gender inequality. There's a major issue of this idea of car culture. There's a phrase that I slung around frequently. That it's like death to bike thieves. I mean, I have been hurt by bike thieves, but the idea that people are getting upset enough to call for the death of someone, that's not right. Free software, we have these issues as well, right? We need better diversity. But in the same way that bicycles are working on this, they are creating these motivations, these communities, these cultures, we are too, right? What have our responses been? We have, you know, the GSOC, ADA initiative, outreachy. We're bringing people in, and we're taking people out. we're calling people out when they are no longer healthy for the community. And we're calling people in. We're giving people the opportunity to adjust their behavior, to transform, to improve. We're bringing in, with bicycles, some of this bike culture, and we can see it in some of these pictures of like a punk nature and whatnot. There's a, I don't know if some of you might have heard, like, there's a WTF initiative, the Women Trans Femme Nights, right? Well, WTF, it's fun. It's punny. It's acronym. But, you know, at just the same time, we could call it Femme Trans Women's Nights. And that's FTW. I'm all about for the win. And what about cities, right? This is an amazing sight to see all of these people coming together to make these changes. And there, I think, very reasonably, is a city initiative for not having cars in downtown spaces. In the same way, I think there are country and city initiatives to not be using private software, right? We see that in Germany. We see that in other governments. We see that with Riot, right? France, Secure Communications, at least for a while. I don't know the current state, actually. We see it in India. We see it around the world. This idea that we can make spaces that are better for what our communities we care about and communities that do help us and help the public good, that's something that we should absolutely fight for and something we should absolutely care about. So before wrapping up, before getting entirely out of this, I do want to cover some of what I think is a really cool thing in bicycles and free software. So I'm calling this Rad Routes, and you'll notice my slides are pretty picture heavy. That's because I bike a lot, and I think bike pictures are pretty neat. And I also deal with software a lot. We've reached some pretty amazing achievements, right? Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of cyclists. Spaces that are safe, right? The rail to trail programs, check them out. We have some great ones in our area. I'm sure there are some in all of yours. This is the idea that we took unused railways that had already been leveled, that had already were car-free, and instead of developing them into buildings or whatnot, we've turned them into flat or semi-flat routes that are entirely separate for walkers and for riders. How many people do we have using Linux, right? It may not be the year of the Linux desktop, it may be. But I'll tell you, if you go to any server rack or any service, they're running free software. Free software is the big deal. That is like, we have won in some senses in that space, and we just need to keep holding on to it, right? Part of holding on to it is these events. Part of holding it on to it is continuing to use it and continuing to understand where it came from and where it still should stay to some extent. Now, a couple of these pictures, I might be utilizing public roadways once the cars are no longer allowed via express lanes. In the middle there, I towed 4 Christmas trees. We have an annual burn. We go around the alleyways, and instead of having someone pick up these trees and dispose of them, we make this big event, have a bunch of fun, right? This is the type of thing that would be great to work on and pick up in the free software world. The idea that finding bot Twitter accounts, finding vandalism, that we can bring people together in ways that really, again, help the world. Help it in really important ways. And part of it's just thinking about it. Part of it's thinking, oh yeah, I can do that. Part of it's exploring. Part of it's getting back out into nature. Getting back out, trying new distros. Now, there are some great podcasts out there that I listen to on the regular, right? I mean, Software Freedom Law Center podcast, sure, but that's now been expanded and moved on and continued, and Bradley and Karen are doing a great job. There's also Libre Lounge. Recently there was one that I started listening to and I really have enjoyed. It's called Choose Linux, and it's just a group of people out there pressing the random distribution button on DistroWatch and giving things a shot, seeing what they like, what they don't like, giving a face and name to some of these projects that otherwise wouldn't. They were someone's little pet project and maybe they would get attention, but they're not the big ones. But even with the big ones, explore. That's part of bicycling, is exploring, is going on these epic ventures, is tracking down a bug. That's something that is special and something that we allow with our world, but not something that would necessarily be allowed. But not something that we do allow with most other things. We're just, thinking around most other things.
Well, Salt, we are right at about time for Q&A, okay. So I just wanted to let you know, if you want a couple more seconds to just wrap up, please do.
Yep, thank you very much. So I think I have two or three more slides, and I will wrap us right up. I will say that one of the innovations and things that I've created with the bicycle world, I'm really proud of, and maybe give some thoughts to some of you, is that we started a Seattle Bike Disco, and I've been able to bring software engineering, lighting, nighttime adventure communities together to go around the city and to do these things to bring bicycles and free software together. And I don't have I was going to put an ad for that as well. But the other big thing, and this is, again, interjecting a quick little ad, is Siegel. So, yes, many events have moved online, have been canceled. But hopefully this won't be something for the remainder. And so I'd like to invite everyone out to Siegel. It's the Seattle GNU Linux Conference. This is our 8th year. And we're starting the planning now. So if you can make it out, that would be wonderful. If you're interested in getting involved in planning, definitely get a hold of us. It takes quite a bit of time and effort, and we do have positions that can be done remotely. With that, I would like to say thank you very much, Libre Planet, and everyone for coming, and I'm happy to take any questions that you might have.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That was great. So we have a few questions here that came in through the chat. The first one is, how did you get into bike repair? Was it on your own or through school or clubs or some other way?
Yeah, great question. So for me, I got involved with a club that does kind of nighttime riding and just trying to find my community, I guess, was part of it. But they definitely had a very, like, I wouldn't say it's a no-drop policy, but you were not supposed to be dropped, and at the same time, you were supposed to be self-sufficient. So if you got a flat, like, you were the one out fixing it. You were supposed to bring your own tools. So I think that started it. But beyond that, I was so, so lucky to be able to have this university bike shop. And I've spent a lot of time there, to the extent of I recently took a bike and just a frame and built it up entirely from the frame. So that's where I'm at so far. I haven't quite gone into welding, but I'll tell you, it's probably not far off.
Great, thanks. And then our next question here is what you're positing here just a metaphor, or is it a pattern? Like, can you extend the line beyond the two points here of, free software and bicycle communities are similar?
That's a really great question. And I can stop my slide share So I, you know, that's the type of thing that I study, whether or not these patterns exist, how we can build more successful patterns. And I have not taken it beyond that yet, but I think that there is absolutely an argument that could be made. And hopefully one I can find that would reach to seeing that pattern as a repeated thing. So yeah, thank you.
And then I don't know if you have the chat up, there was just a really nice kudos in here, you know, as a free software enthusiast who's recently gotten back into writing, this talk was perfectly timed. So thanks from that person.
Oh, well, thank you. Definitely. I'm more than happy to share. I actually realized I did not join the chat for this room.
Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. I have actually a question for you. And that is, you know, I really was meditating a little bit on the space aspect that you were talking about, you know, the bike co-ops where you can actually dig in and work on bikes. And then I'm a librarian, so I think about it from like makerspaces where you can dig in and do things in public libraries. Where do you think like that kind of, I want to hear about like how that activity happens in the free software community from your perspective. What kind of spaces are really good for that?
Yeah, for sure. So I think with free software, we used to have Linux user groups, and that was, I mean, With Siegel, we called it the SealGNU Linux event because it had a cute logo we could make with it and things like that. But part of it was that Linux was this buzzword that allowed us to tap into, oh, you're talking about a very specific type of thing about free software, and it's something that the public kind of knew about. It was something that could then build like these lugs, had install fests and had workshops and talks that you could go to regularly, and they would be welcoming and they would be free. I think we've lost a lot of that in the free software community. IRC channels might be one of the places that it still is pretty active, but I think that is one of the things that I have personally felt a loss in, and something I would like to kind of see back. Events like LibrePlanet, LinuxFest Northwest, Siegel, you know, these more community-driven conferences, ones where they have tutorial and workshop days, I think that is a space where we see that. Another big one I would mention is the Indie Web Camps. Indie Web is this idea of kind of independent and I think there's another indie word in there, but this idea of working on the things that you need and kind of getting back to those basic bones, but doing it in a small community. So you have the homebrew website clubs, and it is a space of coming together that I want to see free software reinvest in. And how it will get to that point, I'm not exactly sure. I've seen with makerspaces, I've seen it, I've helped found four or five makerspaces in the Seattle area, and I'll tell you, they're really hard to keep going. We have a couple, but it's hard to keep community spaces going while sticking to your ideals, I should say.
Why do you think bike co-ops have been so successful in being able to maintain those spaces, but some of the other ones seem to, be harder to keep up without lots of funding and staff?
I honestly think that one side is that bike culture is willing to accept standards of living that might be a little reduced compared to some other places. You know, you're already out there and getting dirty and getting your hands on things, but also you might, when you've been biking a long, long time, you will eat foods that you might not have eaten before because you're just really that hungry. At the same time, I'm not sure if I agree with the premise. I think bike shops have, like, it's really great that they exist and they are doing wonderful things, but they take a lot of space, and that space costs money, and I don't know that they are necessarily as healthy as ever. So I think it's a problem we've seen with bike co-ops, with free software maker spaces, and with artist communes and generally in the world, that at our current state, things have been pushed out further and further, and you need to have a critical mass that really exists in these cities, and it's becoming harder to maintain those spaces affordably.
Well, thanks so much. I don't think we have any more questions here in the chat. This was a great talk. I think everybody really enjoyed it. Thanks for sharing these thoughts with us today and having us think about it. Do you have anything else that you want to say before we sign off?
Nope. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I appreciate everyone's incredible efforts to still attend and keep this event and conference going, despite, of course, the world going in very, very kind of panicked ways right now. And pandemics, they are a thing that we're dealing with, but thank you all for dealing with them. Oh, I should mention that tomorrow afternoon, we are having a Birds of a Feather for Snowdrift.coop, which is my kind of the free software project I'm most involved in right now. And the information is available, I think, on the wiki, the Libre Planet wiki, Birds of a Feather. We're having it in our Matrix channel, Matrix/IRC channel.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.